There's one more over there. Page 1042. There's different kind of ways to run through the Bible. Sometimes you can run quickly, and on a Sunday morning we can take in a big chunk. But we're just spending a term together, a school term together, just focusing down on Luke chapter 11 and really only the first 13 verses. We want to spend some time listening to Jesus and what he has to teach us about praying. And today we're going to read the whole lot, but we're just zooming in even further today. And our focus is just going to be verses 3 and 4 today. But let me read the whole lot so you can see it as it fits in. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's bow our heads, shall we, and ask the Father for the Holy Spirit as we open his word together. Father, we thank you that we have this prayer recorded for us. We thank you that your purposes for us are to bring us to trust Jesus for our salvation and then to conform us to be like him. And Father, if we are to be obedient to your word today, if this word is to live for us, then we need your Spirit. And so, Father, please would you send him today? Would you give him generously to us so that we might hear and obey what we are hearing in your word today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, I want to describe someone to you, if that's okay to start with, and see if you can work out who I'm talking about. You often find her tucked into a disused doorway very close to a supermarket. She sits on cardboard and then some blankets on top of the cardboard. She's often dressed in a lot of clothes, whatever the weather, even if it's warm. She holds in her hand a small cup, and in the bottom of this cup are just a few coins. And when anyone walks past, she often lifts the cup, and she lifts her eyes, hoping that she might get something from whoever walks past. Who am I describing to you this morning? A poor woman, yeah. Any other words you might use for her? A homeless person, yeah. Any other words we might use to describe her? A beggar, yeah. This is a woman who is begging. And actually, if you've ever walked up and down 4th Street, I'm actually describing to you a particular woman who sits near Tesco's, just down an Angel Edmonton. She's there every time. But she's a beggar. A beggar is someone who knows that they're totally dependent on someone else for what they need. She lifts her eyes, she lifts her cup, because that's where her help's going to come from, nowhere else. She knows she's in need. And this morning, as we come back to this prayer, this famous prayer that Jesus taught disciples to pray, to the school of asking, actually what I want us to see this morning is that Jesus encourages disciples, those trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that he encourages disciples to be beggars. Beggars for their daily needs. We are to be people who, before our Heavenly Father, as it were, lift our cup and lift our eyes and say, "You have what we need, we have nothing, and it all comes from you." See, just look down with me at verses 3 and 4. This is where our attention is going to be this morning. "Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." This is a list of requests. If I could put it like this, this is a list of begs. You know, sometimes beggars have a sign: "I'm hungry, I need food, I need somewhere to stay." This is the disciples' list of begs, things that we lift our cup for and say, "These are the things that we need." Now, thankfully, the Lord Jesus isn't teaching us to go and sit on a street corner and beg to kind of random strangers looking for our needs to be provided. Actually, Jesus is teaching us this morning, if I can put it like this. He is teaching disciples to daily depend on Dad. To daily depend on our Father in heaven, who is good beyond belief. A Dad that we've seen so far, as Luke's helpfully taken us through this series, a Dad who loves to give good gifts to his children. A Dad who loved this world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's how good this Dad is. And he's teaching his disciples to daily depend on Dad. To daily depend on the one who loves us as a father. And if I can put it like this for you this morning, here's what he wants disciples to have. Now, this kind of may pull in different directions in your heart, but I want to try and capture it. He wants disciples, those who follow him, to have the heart of a beggar, but the confidence of a child. The heart of a beggar, but the confidence of a child. The heart of a beggar, because we know that we need stuff. A beggar knows that they have nothing without coming before somebody else. A beggar knows they're in great need. And that's the heart we're to have. But we come not as someone on a street hoping that someone will provide something. But we come before our Father with the confidence of a child who says, "Dad, could I have this, please? Dad, I need this." And the good Father gives us what we want. Daily depend on Dad with the heart of a beggar, but the confidence of a child. And I wonder this morning as we sit here, is that how you see yourself? A beggar in need, but yet a child with a loving Heavenly Father. As disciples, we must be, that's what Jesus is teaching, we must be learning to daily depend on Dad. To see ourselves as those who have a need, and our Heavenly Father is the one who can meet that need. And what I want to do simply is work through these requests this morning. And I want us to see three lessons from Jesus in daily depending on Dad. And here's lesson number one. We need to daily depend on Dad as our provider. Look just down at verse 3. "Give us each day our daily bread." When my children are hungry, often when they come in from school, they come running up to us and say, "Mom, Dad, I need something to eat." In their hunger, they look to us. Now, I'm sure there'll come a stage in our family life where they stop asking and they just go and raid the cupboard. But at the moment, they see us as provider. They see us as the one, particularly our little ones, whose arm is big enough to reach the biscuit tin. So they come running in and they say, "I need food." Their eyes are on us to provide. And in a similar way, with this very simple request, it is very basic, isn't it? "Give us each day our daily bread. Jesus is urging disciples to ask their heavenly Father to provide what we will need for any given day. It recognizes, first of all, that we have a need. That's the same in all these requests. You ask for something because you need it. But it recognizes that God is the one who has it in abundance. We have physical needs, don't we? All of us in this room, unless you're abnormally unhuman, we all have physical needs. You don't eat, you get hungry. You don't eat long enough, you die. You don't drink, you get thirsty. You don't sleep, you get grumpy, and eventually you die. That's how it works. We have physical needs, things that we actually can properly use the word need for. We do need those things, because eventually we'll just shrivel up and come to nothing. These are needs. And bread here, as Jesus says, give us our day, our daily bread, is actually bread. He does mean that, because bread is something that you feed on, but it's pictorially the most basic of human needs. And I think he's saying that we are to depend on Dad for what we need. It's a bit of an old-fashioned phrase, but we used to talk, I guess, about the person who went out in a family and earned money as the breadwinner. Do you remember that phrase? I don't think we use that so much anymore. But the breadwinner of the family. Not literally because they went out and won bread for you, but because they went out and they earned some money so that you could buy bread. Because bread is the basic needs. It's kind of enough to keep you going. And actually, to live each day, to survive each day, then we must learn to depend on the one from whom all things come. The breadwinner, the bread giver, God himself. And I wonder, you know, sometimes you try and sit yourself, I don't know if you do this, perhaps it's just me, but you try and sit yourself in the setting here. You know, imagine that you're sitting amongst the 12 disciples who are saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread. Now, maybe if you were tuned in as a disciple, your mind would start to run to an Old Testament story. Because in the Old Testament, we meet the people of God, the saved people of God, who were then journeying to the promised land. They wandered for 40 years. And what happened every day? God provided bread from heaven so that they would not starve. And maybe, just maybe, as Jesus says, give us each day our daily bread, he's casting their mind back to this miraculous provision of what they needed every day so that they didn't shrivel up and die in the desert. God provided it. And he didn't provide more than they needed, and he didn't provide less. He didn't send a Morrison's kind of home delivery service and said, here's your supply for the week. It was every day they had to depend on their father, daily depending on Dad for the food they needed. And this was the daily miracle that starkly put before them an eternal truth, that God provides what we need. God is the source of all that we need to live and move and have our being. You would not be here today if the Father had not provided the air that we needed to breathe, your life to keep you going, some food for us to eat at some point. And so let me ask you this morning, do you pray about your daily needs? Do you know praying for it can often lead to thankfulness for it? So actually, if you build into your system a daily requesting from God what you need for that day, then actually it often the counterpart is that it stirs in a thankfulness for the things that you have had. Do you see yourself as you sit here this morning as someone who is daily dependent on Dad, on our Heavenly Father, for your money? You know, however that comes into your account, whether that's comes because there's a benefit system to keep you going, or whether that comes because there's a job that you have that brings money into your bank account, whether that's money because somebody is providing for you through gifts or whatever it may be, do you see yourself as daily dependent on Dad for the money that you need to buy the things for that day? Do you see yourself as dependent on Dad for your food, for your home, for your job? See, this little phrase, give us each day our daily bread, is like a springboard. You know when you go to a swimming pool and there's this thing you can bounce on, dying, 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 and shoo, you can fly off. Normally for me, in any direction, it's potluck, you know, which way I'll go. But you bounce on this thing, and this prayer of Jesus is like a springboard. Dying, 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 dying. You can bounce on it. Give us each day our daily bread. And you can bounce off in all sorts of directions and use it to pray for all sorts of your daily needs. You can use it to pray about job interviews, about first days at school and first days in your new job. You can use it to pray about your exams and your doctor's appointments and parts of you that are broken. You can use it to pray about your house moves, and you can use it to pray about anything else you can think of. Lord, Father in heaven, daily I'm depending on you for my needs of this day. Physical, whether that's relationally at work, give us each day our daily bread. Now, my guess is, if you're still with me, that many of us are a bit numb to praying like this. You know, when something kind of pops up that's big, I bet we're great at praying for it. But just the everyday, how do we pray like that? I'm not sure that I woke up this morning and was wondering where my food would come from today. My Levi would be, because he's obsessed with food. But I'm not sure I did. And I'm not sure I swung my feet out of bed this morning and said, Father, please could there be enough food today for our family? Please could there be breakfast when I go downstairs? And I'm guessing for many of us, then the answer is, well, why don't we pray like this? What is it that keeps a group of people in Edmonton from praying, give us each day our daily bread? And I think it's this. I think it's because we have missed God standing behind the means through which he provides for us. Does that make sense? Let me say that again. We miss, as it were, the Lord standing behind Lidl. You know, where do we go for our food? We go to Lidl, don't we? Or we go to Asda, or we go wherever the local shops are, the Tesco's. But we miss the Lord with his arms behind Lidl saying, here you go. Here's one of the ways I'm providing for you. And we get so caught up in Lidl that our eyes are there and we miss the Lord standing behind it. We have so much. You know, if I was to ask my kids, where does your bread come from? They'd say, well, my loaf comes from Lidl. It's from that destination. That's where it comes from. But what we miss is the eyes that the Bible gives us and says, yes, your loaf comes from Lidl, but actually your loaf comes from the Lord. It comes from your dad. Your dad in heaven. And I think when we lose sight of who's standing behind Lidl, who's putting the food on the shelf of Lidl, then we forget to pray, Lord, give us each day our daily bread. We just don't feel like we're in danger. We feel like we live in a baker's rather than we're beggars. I don't think you'd mind me saying, but Peter and I were talking the other day about this. Peter grew up in Uganda. And he was recounting days, genuine days, where he would be with his mum, and there was lots of kids, and they would go out, and they genuinely wouldn't know where their next meal was coming from. And his mum used to pray before they went out. Is this right, Peter? Am I telling the story right? He used to head out, and they used to pray, and they'd go for a walk, and always the Lord provided what they needed. Now, we don't live in that culture, do we, where we walk down the street and think, I have no idea where my next meal is coming from. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray like this. It doesn't mean that the Lord's not providing for us in that kind of way. The disciple, danger or no danger, must learn to daily depend on Dad for our daily needs. And therefore to be thankful for Dad's generous provision. Did you notice that as we read it was us and not me? My inclination would be to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give me each day my daily bread. Forgive me my sins and lead me not into temptation. But did you notice that it's us? It's a corporate prayer. Praying for God to be generous to more than just you is an outworking, actually, of a God who's abundantly generous to us. And actually, this, as an us prayer, is then a prayer that we can pray for our families. You know, when I wake up in the morning as a dad, my job isn't just to provide for me and hope that everyone else in the house is all right. Actually, it's that I want the family to be provided for on that day. You feel that weight of responsibility. You know, give my family this day what we need. It's a prayer you can pray for the church. Did you know that? Lord, give us, Silver Street Community Church, this day, each day, the bread we need. You provide the resources we need to keep the church going. Please make sure there are people in this family who aren't going without today, who aren't genuinely hungry, who aren't worried where they're going to pay their next bill from. And actually praying verse 3, give us each day our daily bread, might make me aware that I'm the answer to God's meeting that need in someone else. So if God provides for Mikey over here, it may be that then John and Rach get some bread because God gives it to Mikey. It's a community. Do you see how it works? We're to pray corporately because God may answer this prayer corporately. In the New Testament it says there was no need among them. Why? Because God gave them their daily needs, and then it was the church that distributed it out. Isn't our Father generous? And praying like this reminds us that all that we have and all that we need comes from Him. And if we fail to pray like this in the morning or in the day, then my guarantee is we'll miss the Lord behind all the riches and resources we have. You with me? Lesson number 1. Daily depend on your dad as provider. Lesson number 2 is we need to daily depend on dad as forgiver. Look at verse 4. Forgive us our sins. Now again, what lies behind this request is a deep need. It's a need that actually is our greatest need before you become a disciple of Jesus. And it continues to be your great need once you've become a disciple of Jesus. As a disciple of Jesus, I sin. I go on sinning. I don't want to. I don't enjoy it, particularly when I get things wrong and displease my God, but I do. That's what the New Testament says. I go on sinning, and therefore, I have a need. And that need is forgiveness. And this request, praying daily to Dad, Father, forgive us. It brings me to the gospel every day. Because this takes us straight to the heart of the message of the Bible. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not one. And the language of verse 4, you see, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, is actually one of the words that means to be in debt. See, there are many pictures for sin in the Bible, but this picture is to be kind of in debt to God. We owe Him our praise. We owe Him our dependence as His creatures who He made. We owe Him our worship and our love and our obedience. And every time we fail to give it to Him, we clock up a debt. But as this verse reminds me that I have a need, it also reminds me that we have a Father who meets that need. We have a Father who sent His Son into the world to die on a cross to clear the debts of our sin, that we might be forgiven. And even as Jesus teaches His disciples to daily depend on Dad as the forgiver, actually, He says these words. This is the beauty of this. He says these words as He's on His way to Jerusalem. Back in chapter 9, it says that He set His face to Jerusalem, to the cross, because that's how He would bring about forgiveness. That's how He'd allow a group of disciples to get down on their knees every day and say, Father, forgive us. Because Jesus died to guarantee the answer to that prayer. Can I ask you this morning, do you feel your daily need for forgiveness? You know, just as this verse lifts our eyes to a generous Father, actually it reminds me that I am a sinner. I get angry. I say angry words. I have angry thoughts. Maybe you take things that aren't yours. Maybe there's drunkenness. Maybe there's laziness. Maybe there's worry. Maybe there's lying just mixed into the stories of our lives. And the strange comfort. Can I tell you something about these words? The strange comfort of these words is that Jesus knew that you would need this prayer. Have you thought about that? See, sometimes we have this view of being a Christian, like, you know, you become a Christian, you get forgiven by Jesus, and then you're kind of supposed to live this kind of perfectly pure life. Well, Jesus didn't expect you to. And that's why He gave you this prayer, so that you every day could depend on your Father for the forgiveness He knew you would need. knew I would meet. And he says to you, look guys, as they gather around, the boys gather around him, and he's saying, this is how you pray. He says, you're going to need this one. You're going to need this one until I come again, because until then, you will be in the forgiveness cycle. And just as he knew that his disciples would need it, he knew that there would be a Father constantly on hand to grant us this forgiveness. He's a Father who forgives, a Father who loves to give good gifts to children. And that includes, friends, our forgiveness. The life of a disciple begins with a prayer for forgiveness. Did you know that? Actually, many of you do. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, where does it start? It starts with a prayer for forgiveness. Father, forgive me that I have not lived as one of your children, that I have not lived as I should have lived, that I've fallen short of your glory. But friends, prayers for forgiveness don't stop there. As a believer, we go on daily depending on Dad for forgiveness. And the more I remember that I am someone who needs forgiving, and the more I remember that the Father is willingly there to give it, do you know the impact that should have? It should make me someone who's free with my forgiveness for those around me. You notice again that it's an us. Forgive us our sins. This is a community prayer because we, as those forgiven by God, should be a community marked by forgiveness. Sometimes the people we get most upset with are sitting in this room. Oh, they said this, they did this. You know, I was meant to be doing this and they did it instead of me. And we get really worked up with each other sometimes in church. But actually praying daily, Father, forgive me, forgive us, reminds us that we are a community that has received forgiveness and therefore we should be a community that is quick to forgive one another. In Colossians, Paul says to them, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And failure to forgive others. If you're struggling with that, then just maybe it's a sign that you've lost sight of the fact that you're someone who needs daily forgiveness from our Father in heaven. And failure to forgive others may be a sign that I am not daily depending on Dad as my forgiver. But if you're on your knees every day following Jesus who says, forgive us our sins, if that's what you're praying, then actually it will help us to be those who forgive others. What does your daily praying give away about you? What does it give away about how you think of yourself? Do you see yourself as a forgiven forgiver? If that makes any sense. Jesus says disciples must daily depend on their Dad as the one who forgives our sins by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You still with me? Lesson one, depend on Dad as provider. Lesson two, depend on Dad as forgiver. And lesson three is we must depend on Dad, if I can get it working, as protector. Look at the end of verse 4. And lead us not into temptation. My little Zebulun, he loves a good puddle. If there's a puddle on the floor somewhere when we're out and about, he is just drawn to a puddle. And normally he's got shoes on that we do not want him to be running through puddles in, or you're going somewhere and he's going to end up with soaking feet. And so it's kind of the heroic Dad as he's running towards the next puddle and he's in flight and his legs are up in the air and he's about to jump in. Normally I grab him and move him to the side of the puddle. I protect him. He's drawn towards this puddle. There's a great temptation for him. But I lift him up and I move him to the side. I protect him. And over again, actually, disciples are people who are tempted and drawn towards puddles. We're drawn towards things that make us want to lift up both feet and jump in and splash around and say, this is great fun. But actually, they're things that make us unfaithful to our Father. Situations that test our faithfulness to the Father. It could be that temptation to be drawn into a conversation that's just wrong. Perhaps it's a temptation to kind of badmouth someone behind their back. Perhaps it's temptation to gossip about someone. That temptation to make a joke about something rude. It's that temptation to look at somebody else lustfully. It's that temptation to jealousy. It's that temptation to be ashamed of Jesus and his words when the conversation comes up at school or in our friendship groups. We're tempted to disobey mum and dad because the alternative just looks far more attractive. That's the reality, day after day, puddle after puddle, that we want to jump in and splash in. And over again, we will encounter situations that mean we need to pray, "Forgive us our sins," because we've jumped in the puddle again. And actually, Jesus teaches his disciples, therefore, to pray, "Lead us not into temptation. Please lead me away from the puddles." This is a prayer that God would protect us from attack. Protect us from sin, protect us from our own desires, protect us from the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, protect us from unfaithfulness to Jesus our Saviour. And learning to pray like this, "Lead me not into temptation, lead us not into temptation," daily reminds me that I am someone who needs protecting. If I pray like this, I recognise, like a beggar, I'm lifting my cup and I'm saying, "I have nothing, but you have it and you can help me." Friends, we mustn't pretend like we're kind of super people in this room. All of us are prone to temptation. If we weren't, Jesus wouldn't teach us to pray like this. It reminds me that I'm a sheep who needs a shepherd. It reminds me that I'm prone to give in to temptation. But it lifts my eyes to a heavenly Father who protects his people as we pray for it. And can I say that this is an us prayer again? Because communities can be led astray. Community, as a community of people who meet here on a Sunday, that there is this sense that together we could be running towards a puddle. Did you think about that? Woo! We're all going towards the puddle. And actually, the Lord protects churches. So disunity, kind of dividing and saying, "Well, I'm more over here and I'm more over there." If a church does that, It's unfaithful to God, and we need protecting from it. And so we ask our Father in heaven, "Lead us as individuals and corporately not into temptation. Move us away from the puddles." Even when we've got both feet in the air and Daddy catches me in the air and puts me down to the side, Father, protect us. And prayer is our access to Dad's divine help. And we fail to ask at danger to ourselves. Do you realise that? You fail to ask at a danger to yourself. Later on in Luke chapter 22, we have the story recorded for us of Jesus fervent in prayer as he heads to the cross. Just hours away from the cross, we're told that his soul was overwhelmed to the point of sorrow. And boy, must he have been feeling some temptation right then. You know, Jesus wasn't immune to temptation. Just think about the wilderness. Think about all he endured there with the devil. And when he gets to the cross, every bit of him must have been saying, "There's got to be another way. You know, there's got to be a way out here. I've got to be running in the opposite direction. This is going to be terrible. The wrath of the Father, the physical pain, the public shame." And boy, I bet he wanted to run in the other thing. But where do you find him? On his knees, praying fervently, "Lead us not into temptation. Lead us in your will. Your will be done, not mine." And Jesus stood firm. But in contrast, now please listen to this, because this is the lesson for us. In contrast, the disciples were asleep outside where he was praying. And Jesus comes to them and he says, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." You see the urgency that he puts on prayer? Daily depending on Dad as your protector is your access to his divine help. What did the disciples do? When the pressure was on, when temptation came, they were unfaithful to Jesus and they ran away. Why? Well, according to Jesus, because they did not pray. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Friends, will we daily depend on Dad for his divine protection from temptation? For you, for your family. You know, parents, do you pray for your kids like this? "Father, lead us today not into temptation." All the pressures that are on them, do you pray for them? In that regard, do you pray for your church family? I mean, just, I know it's embarrassing, but look around this room. Just think about the number of places we will spread to and the number of people we will encounter when we head out this week. Do you pray for the people in this room? "Father, lead us not into temptation." The danger is real. Self-reliance is a problem. And prayer is the answer. And so Jesus teaches disciples to daily depend on Dad as provider, as forgiver, and as protector. He teaches us to have the heart of a beggar who lifts the cup and the eyes to our Father in heaven. But he teaches us to do so with the confidence of a child that the Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. And if you've got a little bit more stamina, you can tell it. I'm on my last few Sundays here, aren't I? Because I've probably preached for a long time. But can I land this with something that I think is really cool? As we pray like this, as we pray, give us each day our daily bread, as we pray, forgive us our sins, as we pray, lead us not into temptation, do you know that this is one of the ways that God's answering the first half of the prayer? When he says, hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. You see, what does a world look on and see with a group of people praying like that? They look on and they see a group of people who are honouring God as holy and who are obeying him as king and depending on him as dad. And the world looks on and say, wow, they've got something. They're onto something here. Because we're tapped into the Father. The God who created this world. And it is through the Father's dealings with us as a community that his fame spreads in this world. Wow, God looks after them. Wow, God protects them. Wow, they forgive one another like I've not seen before. Wow, they always seem to have enough. When you go there, no one seems to go without. Why? Because they're a group of people whose eyes are daily fixed on Dad. They're not relying on themselves. And so may each of us know his help this week to be those who daily depend on him in prayer. And that way his name will be honoured. And whose fame will spread in Edmonton. Because here is a group of people who are daily depending on him. And he provides. And we need the Spirit, don't we, to pray this way? I've been really challenged this week. Just look at the last verse. We keep coming back to this in this series. But look at the last verse. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I am arrogantly self-sufficient. But when the Spirit is given to me, I become a beggar before my Father. He's the one who turns me into a beggar. He will turn us into beggars this week. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together.